My talk today with a moment of silence to honor those who were injured or lost their lives on 9/11. So David, would you please bring us in and out for about 60 seconds of silence just to honor those? Jenna, thank you. That was beautiful and helps frame that for us. Is that a Faith Rivera? I would love to bring her up here, and I would love to hear you two singing together. Say that the title of the talk today is The Ultimate Service, and I have to have the title done and the kind of the structure of the talk done by Tuesday in order to get it in the paper. And many times things shift between Tuesday and Sunday morning. And at the first of the week, this was all going to be about 9/11. And it was going to be about honoring those. And after that beautiful song, I decided to just do and to honor those who gave their lives many times in service on 9/11, along with all of the others. But the real meat of today's talk is service that we do, how we can actually engage in service. Service to the greater Anchorage community, service to our spiritual community, service that enriches our lives and makes us better and more complete and whole. And there are three elements of that I deal with. First is begin with yourself. Secondly is just find a way to serve. And thirdly, prayer is an act of service. So beginning with the self, service beginning with you, yourself. And what came to me in that is that simply practicing the golden rule on a daily basis can be a powerful tool for transformation. So first, make a resolution to act at least once, each and every day, in accordance with the positive version of the golden rule. Treat other people as you would wish to be treated yourself. The second, also a resolution, is resolved each day to fulfill the negative version of the golden rule. Do not do to others that which you would not want done to you. And then the third, and I think the most important element of that, is to at least once each day change your thinking. Change your thought patterns. If you find yourself wallowing in the pity pot, if you are in self-pity, if you are in anger, turn that negative energy into something positive. In the Foundations class, one of the exercises that we go through is we sit and we analyze that negative self-talk. And if you sit and really listen to what you're telling yourself every day, you will be amazed at how much negativity you're saying. And when you're saying that, you're just affirming it. You're just bringing more of it. It's like worry. It's the worst thing you could do because all you're doing is bringing to reality those things that you don't want. So each and every day, and it can be drops. It can be little shovels at a time. It doesn't have to move the whole mountain at once. But if each and every day, one time, you can catch yourself in that negative thought pattern, stop, turn it over, and reframe it in a more positive way. Okay, point number two. Find a way to serve. There is a guy by the name of Paul Walker. I have no idea who Paul Walker is. So I Googled Paul Walker, and I found out that he is the pretty boy from Fast and Furious. I don't even know what Fast and Furious is. But it had a picture of him, and he's a very handsome young man. He went on to his next expression. Okay, so Paul Walker, this is the story. A young couple was in a jewelry store, and they were selecting a wedding ring. And they looked and looked, and they got excited, and they were going, and they picked out, and the one says, "Oh my, that one is beautiful." And she took it out of the case, and she looked down and saw the price, and went, "Ooh, that's a little out of our range. We're not going to be able to do that." And as they thought about it, they were preparing to leave the store. Paul Walker went up to the store manager, and obviously he had shopped there before, and he said, "I want you to just take that ring and put it on my tab and then give it to them, but you can't ever let them know how they got that ring." And the couple went outside, and a few seconds later out ran the sales clerk with a little bag and gave it to him and said, "Here, this is yours. It's a gift." And, "Well, who from? Who, what? And then she opened up and saw it. It was the ring that she had absolutely wanted. And, "Well, I can't reveal that. I'm sorry." And they never knew, I guess, until Paul Walker passed away. And then it was able to come out that he had actually been the donor of that gift. But this isn't about that gift. Well, it's a beautiful story, and it's a great thing. It's very touching, his kindness, his generosity, and everything else. What caught me was in that Google search, and I looked down, what I learned about Paul Walker is that he was the impetus behind an organization that delivers medical supplies, food, and hope to impoverished countries after natural disasters. It's called the ROWW, or Reach Out Worldwide. And he assembled a team of people, and they had backpacks and things all ready to go at a moment's notice. And when those disasters would hit, he would jump up, his team would go, and they would be there. They were one of the first responders to the earthquake in Haiti. They were one of the first responders to the earthquakes in Chile. They were one of the first responders to the typhoons in the Philippines. All this is under the radar. People don't realize what Paul Walker was doing in service to his fellow man. Now, not all of us have the financial resources or the ability to pull those kinds of things together, but we can do the same kinds of things each and every day. We can do it by simply find a need and fill it. Ram Dass said, "At times helping happens simply in the way of doing things. It is not something we really think about, merely the instinctive response of an open heart. Caring is a reflex. Someone slips, your arm goes out. A car is in a ditch, and you join the others and push. A colleague at work has the blues, and you let her know that you care. It all seems natural and appropriate. You live, you help." And those little things are just as significant as Paul Walker and the large things that he has done. Earlier this week, I was at a meeting. I arrived early, and the chairperson was the only person there when I arrived. And I asked, "Do you need me to do anything?" And she said, "Oh yeah, pass out this literature." And so I'm running around, passing out the literature and putting it in place for everybody. And while I was doing that, another lady came in, and she sat down and really grumpy. I mean, you could tell this was not one happy lady. She was pretty grumpy. And that chairperson said, "Say, would you mind making a pot of coffee?" And You get that ubiquitous. I don't know where our culture got it, because we didn't have it when I was a kid, but the eye roll. Okay, where's the coffee? Where do I get the water? She confided later that she was really hurting that day, and she didn't come to that meeting to be of service. She came to that meeting to be served. She came to that meeting to be supported. But she got up and she made the coffee. And I could not help but notice that as she, you know, first got the basket out and got in and she figured out how much coffee to put in, her mood was slowly picking up. She was getting a little better. She poured in the water, and by the time she had the coffee made, she wasn't exactly grinning, but she didn't have that huge frumpy frown on anymore. And as others started showing up, some of the regulars started showing up, and one lady came in and she said, "Oh my, smell the coffee. We've already got the coffee on. Oh, I have been looking forward to a cup of coffee all afternoon. Whoever made it, thank you." And there was Miss Grumpy with a smile on her face. It can be as little as making a pot of coffee that can make a difference in the lives of other people, and it's something that we can all do. Returning to 9/11, in the early 70s, there was a calorie pear tree that was planted near the Tower 5. And after the disaster of 9/11, it was about the middle of October, and they were removing debris and whatnot, and they found what was left of this calorie pear tree. And that tree had become such a symbol to the people of New York. Every spring, it had the most delicate white blossoms. And those delicate white blossoms were the notice that the cold New York winter was over and spring was at last here. And that tree had been charred. It had been burned. Its trunk was scarred. Its roots were broken and dead. And it had one lonely branch that appeared that it might still be alive. And the workers looked at it and they kind of thought, well, what do we do? You know, and they were getting ready to put it into the dumpster, put it into the debris to be hauled away. And one man said, no, I think that tree can make it. And what they did is they called over somebody from Parks and Rec, and the Parks and Rec guy said, I don't know, this isn't looking too good. And then he said, well, I suppose we could give it to our naturalists, give it to the people with the nursery and see what they can do. And so they got what was left of this tree, and they sent it off to the nursery. And the people in the nursery said, we don't think we can do this. But they cut away the charred part of the trunk. They cut away the dead things. They cut away the part of the root. They replanted it, they redid it, they surrounded it in love, and they brought that tree back. And that pear tree began to live. After a period of time, the tree was moved back to the site of the World Trade Center and continued to grow. Everyone was so excited about this tree, they named it. The name of the tree is Survivor. In 2010, storms in the autumn hit New York City, hit Lower Manhattan, and Survivor was caught in 100-mile-an-hour winds and ripped up by its roots and washed away. But once again, somebody found Survivor. They brought it back to the nursery. And Survivor made it. And Survivor is now back at the site of the footprint of the South Tower, of Tower 2. And no, Survivor is not a beautiful tree like it was before. They purposely turned the most traumatized side to the public so that when people look at it, people are almost shocked that here's this tree. But what a perfect example. What a perfect example, not only for the United States, but for all of mankind. And it's more than just a story of resiliency or a story of rebirth or a story of persistence. It's a story of help, because Survivor couldn't make it if it didn't have the help of the people in the nursery, of the people that identified the life that was there and the help that it gave us. And we can all help Survivor. Yesterday, a group of us gathered together. We prayed over the food that everybody brought to deliver to fish. And then we took it over to the fish placed next to St. Mary's. And we delivered a pickup truck full of food and a check for $455.50. You guys are awesome. At the same time, a much, much larger organization was having a food drive, going door to door and raising food and awareness and help for the hungry. But I'll tell you, the look on the lady's face at Fish when we showed up with a whole pickup load of food was priceless. This community stepped forth in service to the greater Anchorage community. And who benefited? Of course, the people that are getting the food benefited. But who else benefited? We did. No, the spontaneous pizza party didn't break out. It might have. You never know. We all have opportunities. I'm going to make a blatant pitch now for anyone who is called to be of service to our spiritual community in a specific area of working with our youth. One Sunday a month can make a huge difference. And what a better way to invest your time, your talents, than with working with our youth. Consider it. Third point, prayer is an act of service. Sometimes our greatest gift is to simply listen. To know the truth for someone who cannot embrace that truth in that moment themselves. We had a really touching moment yesterday in a practitioner meeting that we had in the morning before we went over to FISH. It stands for Fellowship in Serving Humanity. But in that practitioner meeting, one of the things that came out was that we all face life's challenges. Life is messy. Life is messy for everyone. I don't know of anyone who has sailed through life without a problem, without a hiccup, without something in their lives. And it's not that we don't have problems, it's how we handle them. And no, we're not all going to be perfect. No, we're all going to. We all live in the world of effect at one time or another. But it's how we struggle to handle with it. Whether we can reach out to someone, whether we can be of service to someone, or allow someone else to be of service to us. And when we can't see that truth, because of the world of effect that we live in, we have the gift of being able to see it for others. And that then brings us to prayer, an act of service, the greatest act of service. Prayer is the cornerstone of our teaching. When we pray, we are knowing an immutable law, not only for the person or event or the condition for which we're praying, but for ourselves as well. And if you talk to practitioners, there's a common thread that goes through many of these things. If we have something kind of going on in our lives, oh, that ain't so pretty. And we're at service on Sunday. We have somebody come up and tap us for a one-minute miracle. Guess what they want prayer for? Time and time and time again. It's the very issue that you're facing in your life. First time I ever had anything like that. And it was, I think, week two of practitioner training year one. I mean, brand new practitioner training student. I mean, I didn't even have training wheels on yet. I was still on the tricycle. And Ann and I had, you know, we were maybe looking at an issue from different viewpoints. I wouldn't ever say we had an argument, not in 47 years, but we had kind of had a little thing that morning, and I think I probably walked out in a huff. And Reverend Guy walked up to me after service and said, Donnie, I need you to come over here for a second. He took me to a lady and he said, you know, I really can't help you, but Don here is great in this area and he'll be able to help you. Guess what it was? Wife was having an argument with her husband and really needed some anchoring prayer. That's the way it works. But it forces me to sit there in that moment and know that truth. When I wouldn't have done that for myself, I wouldn't say forced. I was given the opportunity to step into that. Prayer then becomes the ultimate service. Prayer works. So what I want everybody to take away today, the one thing that we can take away, is that when we step forth into service, beginning with ourselves, finding a way to serve, and through prayer, we benefit just as much as the person or the people that we are serving. And so it is with this awareness of the power of prayer in our hearts that I ask my colleagues, to practitioners, to join me in holding our congregation in consciousness, in prayer, in loving support. And so it is in this moment that I simply recognize that there is indeed a power in the universe, one power, one presence, one life, and that life is the life of God. That is my life. That is the life of each and every person here. And that life is perfect in each and every way. At its very core, the capital T truth, that life is perfect. Does not demean that there are not effects in the world. And those effects are very, very real. But they are temporary. The truth is forever. And so I speak my word now for anyone who is experiencing lack and limitation. I simply know that we live in an abundant universe. And as we open up ourselves to that greater good, the greater good of God, that the storehouses of heaven flow into us. I speak my word for those who are facing relationship challenges. We know that God is a loving God, and God is within each and every one of us. Therefore, love is at the center of who we are at this and in every moment. And as we interact with other people, whether it be at our workplace, whether it be within our family, whether it be romantic relationships, casual relationships, it makes no difference because it is all God interacting with God. And God is a loving God. And we just step back and allow that love to spread. And so in this moment too, I speak my word for any person that is experiencing any kind of a health challenge, any type of disease. We simply know that behind the appearance of this disease, there is wholeness, there is health, there is strength, there is vitality. And in this moment, I absolutely know that there is an infection spreading throughout this congregation in this very moment, a powerful infection. For we are all infected with that loving kindness that spreads throughout this congregation, into the greater city of Anchorage, into the greater state of Alaska, throughout the world. And that infection is bound to catch each and every one of us. And I just give thanks for that loving kindness infection. I give thanks for my awareness of the power and the presence of God. And I release these words, the working of law that always responds. We let it go, we let it be, and so it is.